We usually think of our devices as having these hard physical boundaries. Like your phone is just your phone, right? Or a satellite is this rigid hunk of metal up in orbit. But going through this September 12, 2026 Tech and Morning report, it really hits you. Those physical borders are completely dissolving.
Welcome to today's deep dive. We're looking at this massive technological convergence. Software is just completely untethering from the hardware we thought constrained it, you know?
Right, so take Google's Gemini for Windows. I mean, they're basically planting a flag right in Microsoft's backyard here. You just hit Alt plus space and a floating HUD pops up.
And it bypasses the browser entirely. But the real engineering hook is that it runs on under 110 megabytes of idle RAM.
Wait, 110 megabytes? I mean, that's nothing.
Exactly. Keeping the footprint that unbelievably small lets it run isolated processes locally. That unlocks these agentic workflows where the AI isn't just answering questions, it's taking independent actions.
Like, you just drag a messy folder of desktop invoices into that HUD, and it autonomously compares the numbers and boom, drafts an email to accounting.
Yeah, and because it processes locally, your corporate data never even hits the cloud. What's fascinating here is the massive enterprise security appeal of that local processing. And actually, that same logic applies to the infrastructure routing costs Apple operators claim justify that $5 fee for iOS 27.
Oh, right, the iPhone handoff feature, where you can share one cellular plan across two active iPhones.
Right, using just a biometric unlock to seamlessly swap a Pro Max for a mini at the gym.
Okay, let's unpack this, because Apple is basically treating our phone number like a shared Netflix login. But operators like T-Mobile are charging a $5 tax for no extra data. If I'm already paying for the data, why do they care which piece of glass I'm holding?
Well, network operators argue this isn't just a simple SIM swap. To make that handoff seamless, they have to manage two active radio nodes simultaneously and, you know, dynamically route that 5G connection on the back end.
So they don't drop your call in the middle of it. Whoop.
Exactly. And that active infrastructure routing requires serious computing power, which is why they say the fee is justified.
Wow. Well, if dynamic routing on the ground is that resource intensive, imagine the software nightmare of routing physical objects traveling thousands of miles an hour in orbit.
Which is exactly what Impulse Space just solved. They brought two autonomous mirror spacecraft within 200 meters of each other in low Earth orbit.
And they did this without ground control dictating every single move.
Yes, using vision-based navigation. So instead of relying on ground stations pinging radar coordinates, the spacecraft use optical algorithms to literally see each other.
So they interpret visual data in real time to adjust their thrusters. That is crazy.
It is, and it's actually the exact same modular mindset we see in consumer tech right now. Think about Insta360's new Luna Pro camera.
Oh, yeah, where the 2-inch OLED screen completely detaches.
Right, you can control an 8K Leica lens wirelessly from up to 20 meters away. The interface is just totally separated from the physical hardware.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, though. We are basically remote controlling high-end cameras and actual space satellites with the exact same modular mindset. But what happens to orbital debris if those navigation algorithms fail?
Well, that's an incredible concentration of risk, right? Software has to flawlessly dictate physical reality. And we're seeing that exact same extreme risk tolerance migrating over into digital finance.
No kidding. Just look at the Hyperliquid exchange. A single crypto whale just opened a $70 million Bitcoin long position on 40x leverage.
Which means for every dollar they actually have, they borrowed 39 more.
Yeah. And because of market volatility, they came within 1% of total liquidation, meaning the network would forcefully sell everything to cover the massive debt. So what does this all mean for you and me? Are decentralized systems actually robust enough to handle a $70 million domino effect crash without wiping out retail traders?
Well, in this case, it survived thanks to its Byzantine fault tolerance algorithm. It's basically a mathematical failsafe.
Oh, so the network's computers can agree on a market state in fractions of a second.
Right, even if some nodes fail or lag under the sheer volume of trades.
Well, speaking of architecture holding up, look at Blockstream. Hackers hit the Liquid network, stole funds, and disguised it as this white hat bounty.
Right, they demanded a 600 Bitcoin ransom to return the rest, but Blockstream flat out refused.
They actually partnered with the FBI instead.
Yeah, and what's fascinating here is how they responded. For a decentralized, historically anti-establishment crypto ecosystem, partnering with centralized law enforcement is a massive architectural shift.
Yeah, they're declaring that security has to come from fundamental code and legal structure, not by paying off extortionists. Which brings us right back to our starting point.
The borders are gone.
Exactly.
Yep.
Technology is no longer siloed. We are witnessing a multidisciplinary convergence, reshaping how you process invoices on your desktop, how telecom routes your calls, and how global infrastructure operates in space and finance.
Everything is interconnected, and it demands flawless execution across every single domain.
Which leads you with this final thought to chew on. If AI can autonomously process or secure finances locally, and spacecraft can autonomously navigate within 200 meters of each other, how long until we see fully autonomous AI systems executing multi-million dollar leverage trades based entirely on real-time satellite data? Are we ready for what happens when they all connect?